All right, everybody, welcome back to Overdunk, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, joined as always by Bridget, and we always got to start this show, not always, but this week we do got to start this show with a bit of an apology. I'm sorry, it's been a week break since last week's episode. Things have been crazy, but we're back. We're here to talk about all things Empoleon release into the game. A date moved for Mega Lucario. It's coming earlier. Not usually the fact you'd say when we're getting a new Pokemon into the game. There's a new patch upcoming. I think as of recording, it'll be happening later tonight. That'll be going live, which will be very interesting. Looking at some of those numbers, a little bit of a teaser there. But I think, Bridget, where we have to start, I think it would be wrong to start anywhere else, is we have maybe not the biggest in terms of quantity, not the biggest even in terms of size, if it's plushie or something similar or whatever the merchandise is, but we have a Ditto merch drop that there's no other way to describe it than truly a love letter to Bridget herself. Bridget, we have a new Pokemon coming, our new Pokemon game coming, released onto the Switch 2, called Pokopia, that features, well, Ditto, but kind of none other than yourself as the main character. This is truly insane. Let's talk about it. Pokemon Pokopia arriving in 2026. Let's bring it up on the screen. Bridget, talk to me about this crazy game.
This was the best day of my life. Was not expecting much from a Nintendo Direct. I was not expecting the game literally built for me. Yeah. This is crazy. I saw Ditto on the screen. I'm like, I'm in. Uh-huh. And then it was basically like Ditto Animal Crossing. I was like,
yeah.
I was on a walk. Like, I was watching like someone else like react to. I wasn't even watching the freaking direct. I was watching someone else react. I was like, oh, I'm gonna go for a walk.
Yeah, how did you feel at this moment right here?
Oh, I was freaking out. Like, I know exactly on the street where I was when I like saw this, and I was like talking to my dog. I'm like, Holly, we gotta go. Like, I need to be in private. Like, yeah. I can't be doing this in public. Like, I was freaking out.
Yeah.
I really can't believe it's real still.
Yeah.
It's like my favorite genre, which is like a life sim. I feel like I've talked about The Sims a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, a few times.
This,
yeah.
This program. maybe just in the pre-show. But I just love like a cozy game. I'm really obsessed with Hello Kitty Island Adventure right now. It's a banger. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is obviously up my alley. As if the Ditto didn't like sell me enough. I mean, I just really like can't believe like Ditto is like the main character of like anything. Like, I got so many DMs and messages being like, they know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, they know who you are, and this is what happened. I'm like, that's great. I hope so.
Uh-huh. I'm not so, gonna lie, Twitter was canvassed with Big Bridget mentions. Like, for crying out loud, it was like, yo, they put Bridget in a video game. This is insane.
I, you know, in my reality, like, they made this is for me. Like,
yeah,
they did this for me. So thank you, mm-hmm. Game Freak. I forget the other developer. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I'm like very gassed. So this like inspired me to like, I've always wanted to collect like all of the Ditto like TCG cards because there's really not that many.
Yeah.
But this made me be like, I gotta lock in before.
Yeah.
This becomes unattainable because I'm like, if there's gonna be merch for this,
yeah,
like, I'm cooked. I'm so cooked. So I need to lock in.
Yeah, you're like, I need this to be my whole personality, but I'm not exactly sure the methodology of what I should do. Ludicolo is featured in this, by the way. We're watching the trailer for anybody who's watching this on podcast land. There's a lot of really lovable Pokemon. I can't wait. This is Lotad hanging out in the water.
It looks cute. The Ditto aside, like, it's kind of crazy. They're actually making, like, people are calling it, like, a farm sim, mm-hmm. like, whatever, kind of cozy. It looks like Minecraft a little bit with the blocks, like.
Yeah, the art style, I would say the most similar to, it feels a lot like Dragon Quest Builders, if anybody ever played that game. I think there was two of them both released on the Switch. I enjoyed that game quite a bit. It was kind of like the Minecraft with its own twist on it. And this seems similar, like, yeah, everything is in that blocky texture, except for the plants and vegetation and stuff, which you get to interact with a lot, seemingly. I can't wait. This also does feel like a very good building block for a game that will release with a lot of content, but kind of has infinite content opportunities, you know? DLC and this Nintendo Direct with Pokemon have some bad taste in some people's mouths, for sure. However, I think Pokopia is a spot where you could truly elevate the game to multiple places. And here's what I'm going to say. I'm excited for it to come out. I really need to get my hands on a Switch too. But also, I do think this game could work as a mobile title. Like, I mean, like, listen, you can play Minecraft on mobile. I think it'd be kind of cool if that was the case, but...
You can play any... Like, I'm pretty sure Stardew's available on mobile.
It is, yeah. It has a different update cycle because of the...
Is on mobile.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is a little different.
Only because, like, the developer's different, and it's, like, that's a whole thing. But, yeah, Stardew has its own woes, but Hello Kitty being there, too, like, I don't know. It seems like a... I don't know. It seems like a really cool title. I can't believe that Ditto's the main character.
That is truly remarkable.
And I feel like every, you know, Pokemon does put out those like super wide surveys, like globally every now and then. It's like, what would you want to see for Pokemon? And I feel like Life Sim is always one of those genres that is a box you can check. It feels like that has been popular enough for the Pokemon company to actually invest in a new title. So I know it's not Unite content. I know it's certainly not competitive Pokemon Unite content, but still, we had to talk about it. This is going to be a very fun game. No hard, even like season release date, right? All we have is 2026 at some point.
Yeah, I feel like people think it'll be in the spring, but I don't know if they said that or not.
Okay, yeah.
It's all a blur. I'm telling you, that was like the best day of my life. I got shiny Psyduck in Pogo.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I got the Suicune Immersive in TCG that day. I had a great day. I will never forget her.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Well, I'm excited. Pokopia, kind of brilliant. I can't wait for that game to release. It's going to be really fun. And yeah, I see Will in our chat posted a Ludicolo emo. Ludicolo is one of my favorite Pokemon of all time. Ludicolo might be my favorite grass Pokemon and my favorite water Pokemon. I don't know if anybody trumps either of those typings for me. Like, it's whenever I'm doing those big, like, you know, giant pick your favorite Pokemon in every single little category you can, Ludicolo, like, cleans up in the Gen 3. Well, not Gen 3. He's up there in Gen 3, but Banette's from Gen 3, so that's my favorite.
Yeah, he cleans up, let's be real.
I can't take it away. But either way, it feels, like, really exciting. But what I was getting at with talking about the roster of Pokemon is it seems pretty wide already. You know, like, if you think about a typical Pokemon game in the HMs category or whatever, you have, like, 8 style of items. But or think, like, maybe a better comparison would be Stardew Valley or something, right? Where you have, what, like, 8 to 10 maybe tools that you're using at any given time, right? But it seems like Ditto can learn moves from a lot more Pokemon. Like, you had Scyther cutting down things, Hitmonchan breaking blocks, you had Squirtle watering plants, Bulbasaur bringing up plants, you have, it looks like, Combee with flowers or something. There's an Oddish making plants. Like, it feels like there is 8, and Psyduck with some kind of water creation. Like, there is so many Pokemon with so many different moves, which I think is very, very fun, and I'm glad they're going wide early. I think that's going to be really good for the game. So, anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. I am excited for, like, the mechanic potential.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't even, like, think about it analytically too much because I just get so excited.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And the character kind of looks like Bridget, right? Like, we're all thinking it. Like, the character does look like you.
They know.
So, again, just congratulations to Bridget for incredible manifestation of making that happen.
I feel like people were, like, congratulating me. I'm like, thank you so much. I didn't do anything, but you're right. Thank you.
All right, Bridget. Well, I think the next topic that we want to get into on today's episode is, of course, going to be the Empoleon release. But, I mean, realistically, I think it's time for Empoleon to give the episode, so.
Yes, right. Finally, a co-host with a brain cell. Yeah. We've needed this.
As you can see, Empoleon's done nothing wrong. It's a perfectly balanced state. This is a great Pokemon, and I think there'll be no changes. In fact,
I agree.
I think we should revert before the nerf.
And you know what? Buff him again.
You know what?
Buff Make him better.
Give him two metal claws. I don't. That's a bad buff. Anyway, thank you. For those of you listening to audio land, I'm sorry. But don't worry, everybody. Piplup is understanding that it was too strong. So let's quick little timeline for anybody if you have not even played Empoleon yet, because it did release as a dice event, by the way, which I don't think we talked about.
Interesting.
Very much going into the Empoleon release. I don't know if we knew that. Well, it was data mined, I think. But if you didn't see the data mines, Empoleon was a, you know, in quotes, free Pokemon. I'm going to say a questable Pokemon. You know, you don't have to spend currency, but you could spend time to earn Empoleon. And I feel like
you got to spend at least a little bit of money on them dice blocks if you actually want to get it in time.
Yeah. Well, just, what do you mean? Before coin release? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. If you, like, as someone who, like, actually really tried for Latias and was, like, doing my quest daily and was, like, trying to be, you know, meticulous because I've never done the dice block thing before, I think I still re-rolled a couple times because I was like, I'm not risking not getting this guy with this one dice roll. So right.
Yeah. No, that's
quest
true.
Quest roll is a better term, I would say, because I don't really know. Like, you have to get really lucky, I think, to actually get it through the dice
rolls
in the allotted time. Yeah.
Yeah, so that is true. I mean, listen, we all know a six-sided dice, but 1 through 6 is a pretty insane variable when you're only able to roll like one every, 30 minutes or so. Like, that is, it can be pretty varying results. But all that to say, I guess what I was talking about is the dice event's still going on, right? Like, if you don't want to spend your coins either, you still could get this Pokemon without spending Eos gems, the paid currency, or coins, the free currency. Technically, it just will take you a while. I'm mostly mentioning that just because I do think Empoleon is a Pokemon at the level of which will bring back players. Like, it is a release that is hype enough that people are going to return to the game, or hell, even try it for the first time. Woof. That's a whole nother topic we can have about first time players trying out this game and the barrage of, I guess, visual
pop-ups
stimulus that you get. Yeah, at the start of the game, pop-ups is, the shorthand for it, but it is absurd the amount of things that you have to see and read before you can even get to the main menu of this game. But either way, that's neither here nor there. Empoleon releases at a free Pokemon. Now, timeline, this Pokemon releases and truly might be one of the most broken Pokemon that has ever been released in the game. Like, the numbers, astounding. I think there was an emergency nerf. There was only Japanese patch notes on the emergency nerf portion. The emergency nerf were thrown into the English patch notes for this next one. We'll talk about that's about to happen tonight, but was stated to have like win rates that they've never seen before.
I love that quote. Like, unprecedented levels of win rates.
Kind
of
goes hard. Yeah. And that's why Piplup's in timeout. For unprecedented levels of win rate. It was scary. This Pokemon brings a lot of unique things to the table. We'll talk more about that, the nitty gritty of it, everything in the report card segment of our episode. But all that to say, timeline wise, the nerfs happened. It's still good. This Pokemon is still extremely strong. Speaking as a player who has not played it, even during that broken phase, I was only able to play this Pokemon post-nerf. It is still an extremely, extremely good Pokemon. Bridget, how about you? How are you? Any initial thoughts before we get into the nitty-gritty here on Empoleon release?
So I only really got to play yesterday since the Empoleon release. And I must say, for the most part, the Empoleon was on my team, not the other team. So I wasn't having too bad of a time.
Right.
I just Heck got yeah. the Masters, so the Penguin was on the table. Mm-hmm. But I just like seeing the community response and everyone being like, it's worse than Zacian. I was like, whoa, like, you got to be careful with what you say. Like, those are not... Yeah. That's not a light sentence. So I knew it was pretty bad. From all reports, everyone was saying it was like disgusting, which is just like, how do we go from Pawmot to like this? But I do think it's like, the Piplup enjoyers are much louder in, I don't know, more in number than the Pawmies, you may say. So I get like that. But it's like, guys, you just released an all-rounder. Like, how you had to know. It's like, I just don't. Yeah. I know it's, I guess it's kind of weird with, like, the Torrent Gauge and, like, the special attacker of it all. I know it's actually, like a buff to it kind of inherently, but
yeah,
I digress.
Yeah, it's an interesting Pokemon for sure. Now, this is the part of the show where I'd be extremely honest with our viewer base, and I am in humility and humble myself in front of you all. I have some kind of curse. I have a curse put upon me, I think, before I was born. I think before humans first walked this earth, the curse was upon me. I, for some reason, cannot win with broken Pokemon. When Ho-Oh was busted, I had like a 40% win rate on that big bird. I don't know how. This bird, when it releases and is busted as it is, it's taken everything in me. Blood, sweat, and tears to claw myself back to a 50% win rate. I don't understand what it is. I make good Pokemon bad. That is my job. Now, I would love to, you know, make that statement and say that I make bad Pokemon good, but I think that might only be because of truly just in a passionate love for this curse, because I don't know how else to explain it. It is unfortunately the case for me. For some reason, my Empoleon luck has been tragic. That aside, I can tell this thing is crazy strong. It's got Water Gun, so its early game is going to be busted. Every Pokemon with Water Gun's early game is going to be broken. This Period. Point is just a standard. Piplup has that in spades. But yeah, this Empoleon Pokemon is kind of nuts. Its Unite move is crazy. Every time I click that button, I'm like, oh, I'm getting a knockout. Sweet. Hydro Cannon's got way too short of a cooldown. That might be like one of the things I'm like, this immediately needs to change. Like 2 seconds extra on Hydro Cannon. This is nasty. It does so much damage. And I'm like, I guess if that's what you want it to do, fine. But it needs to be on a longer cooldown. It is too absurd. But okay. Should we move into report card time here, Bridget, for this Pokemon?
Let's do Graydon time.
It's Graydon time. Yeah, time to pay the piper here, Empoleon. All right. Well, if it's the first time listening to the episode, we do this with every single new release that has come out this year. We give it a report card. Now, this is not your typical video game coverage that you see these days. We're not doing shenanigans like the S tier or anything like this. This is a letter grade from, gosh darn it, the Western school system. So an A+ rating will be the highest. An F rating is the lowest. I don't know if we've given anything an F rating, truly.
No, we're good. We're nice. We don't want to fail anyone. True. Well, this guy might. Nah.
Now, where we break away. Exactly. Now, where we break away from the mold is the Hundo Burger level. This, of course, is a 1 through 5 Hundo Burger ranking. You will not find that on a typical report card, but it is on ours. So, welcome to the crazy shenanigans that is the Overdunk new release report card from Empoleon. It is an all-rounder. It's a special attacker, which it does bring its own unique flair, but let's start the first category. Bridget, let's give this thing a letter grade on fun. You know, let's start with the letter grade first before we even start breaking down the topic. Where would you lean immediately on fun ranking for this Pokemon?
I mean, you're blowing people up. Yeah. So it has to be pretty fun in that regard. Otherwise, its moveset doesn't seem like too crazy, but I feel like the all-rounder heads like yourself are enthralled yes. By it. To me, I'm like,
all-rounder heads only want one thing. It's disgusting.
And it's Empoleon.
It's Empoleon, yeah.
Like, I'm kind of leaning towards a B, but I could probably be convinced of an A if you...
Yeah, listen, there's no way I'm allowing this to be lower than A-. I think Empoleon is a blast to play for a few reasons. So the biggest thing, I think you hit it, the nail on the head there. The moveset is interesting, but it's nothing to write home about. I think the two interesting things that come from this Pokemon that do make it fun is managing your Torrent Gauge. It's actually so much fun. Because it does feel like a unique mechanic to Empoleon. It's like, okay, I don't want to use this move. I want to try to use this move first and then follow up with this one, or yada, yada, yada. Maybe I won't even use anything and try to just build up for two entire builds of my Torrent Gauge to have a really explosive moment. And then the other option is that the fact that it is a special attacker, I think, opens up its item build toolkit in a way that, like, I haven't really seen before. Like, you can build this thing, like, tanky with attack speed. You could go all in and be a bit squishier with double the attack speed to try to build the Torrent Gauge. You could go, like, double stacking special attack. You could go with kind of a bruiser special attack. Like, it feels like there's so many ways to play it. And yeah, I see Riptos saying that you also just get to be Piplup, which is the best thing ever.
Yeah, that's true. I was trolling. You're right. So,
and then the alt, yeah, the alt being hard to hit, but a big payoff is will be really fun after the nerfs. It's a great point from our chat as well. I don't know. I think this thing is such a blast all the time. The moveset, the only thing is, I wish Metal Claw wasn't a sure hit. That, like, feels like the most awkward part of it to me. It's like, fine. Because sometimes I just wish I would have, like, if it was just a mini dash that I got to use all the time, I'd prefer that. But it's more fun than Aqua Jet. So, I don't know. I think A. Like, a standard A is where I would put it. A plus would be if it brought something unique in the moveset category as well. I think it would truly be, like... Well, actually, I'm curious, in your mind, in the roster as a whole... Who do you think has an A-plus fun moveset in the game?
I just feel like we what I feel like I think is fun is not the same as people who play all-rounders think is fun.
That's fair.
I mean, it's more, like, transcendental for me. It's more abstract. Sure. Like, it's more just, like... Do I feel like joy when when I play Sableye? Like, I feel joy. Ooh. You know.
Now,
like,
see, I do think Sableye is an A plus fun moveset. Like, there's a lot of really cool things you could do with it. I think Maridon might be another one.
Really?
Like, okay. Oh my god, it's so fun to press the moves when you're Maridon. I really do think it is. Like, you mean I press this and I go there? Like, that's it? I Sonic the Hedgehog to their backline? Yes, please.
Yeah, that one is cool.
So, I think,
the Drift moveset is cool.
Yeah, actually, I can't mention Darkrai as well. I think that also another one. Aegis Slash is A+. Plus. Interesting. Iron Head maybe will be the only detractor. Okay, but either way, I would fight for Empoleon at an A, but if you do think that, like, listen, I am biased here as one, a huge Piplup fan, as well as being an all-rounder enjoyer. So is maybe if Empoleon, you've gotten to play it a little bit, is not enough to drag you into the Empoleon camp of fun. Maybe it is something like an A-.
I haven't played it yet, so don't.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Or seen it played. Okay, you know what? We're keeping it a day.
I think that's fair. And I feel like the consensus I've heard across the board is that it is very fun, especially the Torrent Gauge. Can you explain? I don't know what the Torrent Gauge, what does it do, or what do you manage?
Basically, what the Torrent Gauge is giving you, and there's, like, a little line in the middle of your Torrent Gauge, it's like a 50% and it's 100%. Nothing happens when you get to 100%. It's just your moves will deplete a different amount of your Torrent Gauge when they use it. Mostly deplete it by 50. So... your Torrent Gauge goes from 0 to 100. So you can kind of bank up two usages of any of your given moves. And whenever they use a 50 of your Torrent Gauge, they enhance the move in some way. So Cannon, for example. So you just have to have it over. It's similar to, like, I guess, like, when Mewtwo Y will Mega Evolve, right? Like, it'll consume the Eos energy or whatever it is. But
Do you build it? Oh, you build it with points?
That was a bad example. but you build the Torrent Gauge just by doing damage to both wild Pokemon or opposing Pokemon auto attacks or moves.
Anything. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of an interesting, when I was first playing Piplup, I was like, okay, I don't want to use my Water Gun because I don't want to use up my Torrent Gauge. But I noticed if you use Water Gun before Torrent Gauge is at 50, it won't use it up, right? It only will consume the Torrent Gauge and use the enhanced Water Gun once it's at least at 50. Okay. And then it'll use that charge up. So each move kind of has its own unique interaction with the torrent gauge. Hydro Cannon's the easiest one to explain, probably. Normally, it's just a big fire of water. It does like a stun and damage. But if it's uses, if you have the torrent gauge full, or at least at 50, when it uses it, it leaves a whirlpool wherever the torrent, wherever Hydro Pump explodes at.
Okay, cool.
And each of those moves have a slightly different interaction with it. Some are like more interesting than others. I think Hydro Cannon might be the most interesting one out of all of them. But either way, I think it's fun to manage. Like, it just kind of got this little mini game of choice when you're starting team fights, which I think is a blast. Eventually, that choice will probably fade once it slowly becomes very apparent what are the best moves and what to use your torrent gauge with and so on and so forth. But I don't know. It feels like Empoleon, in the state it's in very, very good, it's hard to make a bad choice on what to click for your moves. That's another reason it's fun for me, is I do think both movesets feel really viable. Like, I don't feel like you can click a bad move on Empoleon right now. Aqua Jet, maybe, but only because, like, it feels like a slightly worse Metal Claw. But honestly, I've had a lot of great games with Aqua Jet. I think you go, like, Aqua Jet, Hydro Cannon into, like, squishy, like, backlines. Like, that's, like, a lot of attackers, whatever. Anyway, there's a lot of options. So, I'm going to say fun level for A on Empoleon. Balance level. Bridget, this is where we might get a little... little nasty. Now, I think we have to, again, we had this approach with another release that had a less than 24-hour change. I think we have to give it the ranking post-emergency nerf.
I feel like we always change.
Do
because
we?
There have been times where you've said we have to go based off its initial release.
Oh, well then, yeah. I feel like the initial release, though, was when we did these like 2 weeks out. Did we?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
We did it. Pre.
We did do it pre. All right. Okay. Well, listen, if we're doing it pre,
either way, it's an F or a D.
It's an F. Listen, it's an F. If we're going, this is the most egregious thing we've seen since Zacian, right?
Like, I have not seen people this mad over a release in a long time.
It nasty. The most deserving of a 24-hour nerf of all time.
Thank God they did it.
Gosh. Okay. Yeah. Balance level F. I mentioned this on a podcast a few times. I have a few friends who are like kind of IRL friends who play Pokemon Unite. Maybe I'm talking like once a month, you know, they'll pick it up every now and then when they got time to play video games and they'll be like, hey, I've tried it out. I got texts from multiple of them being like, I had one. He's like, hey, do you have a counter for that new Pokemon? I'm getting rolled out here. And I'm like, praying for a nerf is the counter, my friend.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Controller,
right?
Yeah,
crazy, so strong. It's better now. It's still good though. Okay, let's just move on. I mean, there's not much to say more on balance, right? Like, we
and if you've played the game, you know the state.
exactly. Okay, flavor/theme of this Pokemon. I'll speak first as a hardcore Piplup fan. I think they did a really good job. I think Empoleon works great. I think in the particular shining star for me is the Unite move where he belly slides into the mix and then creates this big whirlpool around. I don't know. That feels very Empoleon. Like, if I was a Pokemon trainer in the Pokemon world and my Empoleon, for epic moment in a battle to secure it, slid on its belly and created a giant whirlpool, I'm a happy Pokemon trainer. So in my personal opinion, I think it does really well. How about you?
Yeah, it does give Penguin, it feels more like fighty, I guess, than metal or water. I mean, I know it has like metal and water type moves, but he's really like throwing them wings around, you know?
Yeah.
Which I guess is what he does. I do really like how he runs. I think that is extremely cute. I never really cared about Primplup, but it does make Primplup pretty cute.
Yeah.
I
will say,
yeah, I don't really
I
hate
know being
like, what
Primplup
else could
right have now. Like, really? The gap between Piplup and Empoleon, I'm like, oh, it's so hard to get to that level 7 for some reason. I don't know why, but yeah. Yeah, it's tough. But okay, continue.
I was just going to say that I don't really know, like, what else I could have, like, asked for.
Okay.
Like, I don't really... I definitely don't feel strongly about Piplup as you do, so... I didn't have like anything more than like cute penguin, and they did that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm having a hard time thinking of what else I would really want in terms of flavor or theme of the Pokemon. Like, maybe you give it a bit more mobility, but I mean, you did give it Aqua Jet and like, which felt kind of fine to me. I think the only thing I would have loved, I think it'd be cool if you gave this Pokemon Dive in some way.
Ooh,
instead of
Aqua
Jet.
Cool.
Like, I think like a Cramorant-esque Dive would be really fun. Maybe too strong on Empoleon, but I think it'd be like, probably. It would probably operate something similar to like Seralegious Phantom Force, in my opinion. And maybe that's the argument for why not, right? Maybe it's a little too similar.
Yeah, I do like the concept of another like dive move though, mm-hmm. because really it's just cram, right?
Yeah, and I guess Seralegious
kind of iconic move,
like Phantom Force, but that's kind of it.
Well, I mean like the move dive.
Oh, the move
the
dive. Yes,
mechanic.
We'd love another instance of it for sure. I'm putting flavor theme at A- for Empoleon at the moment. How do you feel?
I agree.
That? Cool.
I agree.
Solo queue viability.
A+.
Okay, well, not if you look at my win rate, but
okay,
guess we'll put it in A+.
Not if you're like, so you're not getting record-breaking win rates, but that's a skill issue.
We'll talk about the curse, I guess. For me, it'll be a separate category to judge it on. Competitive viability for Empoleon. Okay, I think this is like another easy like A+. Like, I think this is extremely strong Pokemon, and you're gonna get it banned a ton in ranked games and stuff like that, right? So I think the ranking is A+, but I do want to talk about it a little bit more about how we could see this Pokemon going forward, maybe after some nerfs eventually. Like, let's say when LAIC rolls around, how do we think Empoleon will fit into a metagame right now? I think it is deserving of its A+, not only on its balance numbers, but for a few different reasons. One, I think its early game is phenomenal. It's hard to find top laners right now with the early game is good as the late game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you play Blaziken for its late game, it's phenomenal. Torchic's early game is nothing to write home about. Buzzwole's its first three levels are fine or whatever, they're not great, but still, it's a very strong early game Pokemon, right? And then into the late game, it can struggle a bit, but you still got combos to work off of. Empoleon feels like similar to like a Buzzwole effect of just stronger balance-wise, in my opinion. So I think this thing, competitively, even after you nerf it and give it some changes, I think this Pokemon will be a strong Pokemon, especially if we ever end up in a more brawly style, like if Eldegoss and Clefable and, well, hell, even Blissey really become like mainstay level threats. You want a good speedster answer? Empoleon's pretty good. You know, it's got mobility to dodge, it self-shields, it heals a ton. I don't know. I think this Pokemon's going to be kind of here to stay, which is also why I think it's deserving of A+. How do you feel?
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely, obviously right now, a major contender in top path. I do feel like you said, that Water Gun early game is just, like, pretty unique.
Yep.
I mean, it feels like it even has, like, mid-range where it could probably even do okay in bot path if you really wanted to like switch it up. It'll be interesting to see like the Groudon map meta. It's been so fun to watch like grassers and stuff with it. So very excited for just like Groudon map meta in general. But I do feel like this stuff, like Palmot feels, Palmot is still like extremely strong, I think.
Yeah.
But it always feels like a little more niche, whereas Empoleon feels like almost like it's giving like mainstay like top laner. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see if it can hold on to all the buffs it's gotten from launch. But I think, like you said, the torrent gauge and the special attack stat are kind of key differentiators that I actually don't feel like other all-rounders have at all. So
yeah,
I think that gives it some juice beyond the initial numbers.
Okay. Yeah, there's this like hesitancy in myself to like not give it A+, so to drop it down to A for some reason, but I mean, at the moment, right, which is where I kind of got to go back to the release of it all, I think right now it is a competitive A-plus level threat. Like, if Underdunk is happening like tomorrow night. Yeah, exactly. Underdunk is happening tomorrow night as of recording. I think this thing is permanently banned the entire match. So I'm going to go with, let's give it the old A-plus in that category as well. So, a quick review of the letter grades before we get into the Hundo Burger level. Empoleon ranked A for fun, F for balance, A minus for flavor slash theme, A plus for its solo queue viability, and A plus for its competitive viability. This is somehow the highest rating we've ever given a release this year, and also has the lowest letter grade we have ever given a release this year.
This is why they don't balance releases. They're like, who cares? They don't care.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, we talked about that. We talked about it a little bit on Twitter.
It's laid out. Yeah. I'm like, I understand why they do what they do. Sorry.
I'm agreeing exactly with what you're saying right now, because Relic, host of the new podcast, The Experience Share, by the way, everybody go check that out. Some really cool hosts over there. I think it's like Bob, Chef, Kello, Soph, and Relic are all like mainstay hosts. So
all of our guys.
Yeah, all the mainstay events, but it's all good. It's all good. They have a great show. Please go check it out. But I was talking about Relic a little bit on Twitter, and he was saying that he always prefers releases to be a little bit underwhelming and then tune them up to the correct category, which I think is a fine take. I have the opposite one. I prefer releases to be strong and then revert it down. Now, you asked me that maybe even a year ago, I probably would disagree with it, but with Pokemon Unite showing the ability to have rapid fixes these days, I actually do prefer a stronger release. One, listen, new releases are one of the only, and I mean one of the only ways that that people will return to playing Pokemon Unite. And you need the new releases to be strong. You need them to be exciting. From a content perspective, from a player's perspective, everything under the sun. Empoleon also is technically a free Pokemon. You know, it is a dice release. Now, I'm putting air quotations around that, podcast listeners, so please don't kill me. But I do think it's I would prefer them to be stronger. Now, the Saint Empoleon release, then there's no excuse for it. That is turbo broken in every sense of the word. I know Spraggles was talking about it. This could be evidence of why. I mean, this happens when there's no public test server. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it could be.
Exactly. Low key.
It's a good evidence for public test server to come back. I'll say that much. It's very
really
good evidence for it to be
used
again.
A release, I feel like, this unbalanced when the PTS has been
never.
In effect.
No, truly never.
So I'm not sure why, I guess, they didn't put Palmot and Empoleon on there, but maybe not causation, but
And Palmot of bad release state as well, right? Like, just bad, which a different end of the spectrum, obviously,
exactly.
But still not a good space to be releasing a new Pokemon in. That was also the other argument why I like stronger Pokemon, because now I even though it's gotten better and the buffs are there, I don't feel like pull to play Palmot. Like, I'm just like, I tried it, and my first impressions are important. So, okay.
True. And I feel like stuff just moves so fast. Like,
totally.
We're getting Lucario, like, in less than a week.
In like 36 hours, yeah.
Yeah, it just was like, which is kind of a good problem to have for us right now. Not always the case, but it's like, we have a lot of guys coming out. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, if you didn't form your soul bond with Palmot over those first couple games, like, sorry, buddy, I'm playing Mega Lucario now. So I get it.
All right, Hundo Burger level out of 5. I mean, with all these A's, it feels kind of ridiculous, but I do think we got to put this at a 3. I think the balance state that it came out in is too egregious.
It was abysmal.
I think it brings it to Hundo Burger levels down.
I would agree with you, because it's like, it's fun if you're the guy playing the Empoleon getting the Pentos, but it does, like, I remember, like, now I'm kind of like, whatever, play whatever you want. Like, they've put it in the game.
Right.
And we have, like, we have draft. Like, I can ban things. Mm-hmm. Like, I have more control-ish.
Yeah. I'm loving the new draft changes, by the way. We'll talk about it more.
Yeah.
For ranked, I'm really enjoying it, but
I feel like I haven't seen people complaining about it, so that means they like it. So.
That's usually the case, yeah. Or, like, or we just don't have many people, players. Like, talking. But, yeah.
Well, that's beside the point. I don't even... Oh, I was going to say, like, when Zacian came out and, like, the state it was, I was, as a player, so angry and, like, quite literally, like, hated you if you played.
Yeah.
Like, it left, like, that bad of a taste in my mouth, like, at the time. Like, now I'm kind of, like, whatever. But,
No, that's fair. There were competitive servers, like, not letting people in because they're, like, well, you got your rank via, like, Zacian.
Yes. It was like, it was bad. Like, yeah. I was angry. Like, legitimately angry. Mm-hmm. So, I get the overtuning can ruin it. I do not frick with Zacian in any regard because of that moment in my life. So
agreed.
Anyway,
I truly, okay, let's say Empoleon released today with the stats it has now, like after the emergency nerf.
Oh yeah.
I don't think balance level is getting an F, right? I think it's too strong probably. So I would put it probably at like a C maybe. Like it's still an extremely strong Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
It probably gets like a C, maybe even a C minus or something. Maybe we get like a little harsher on it. It probably goes up to a 4 Hundo Burger level release. I don't know if it's quite at 5. Like, it is just too strong. Like, if it released a little bit weaker than what it is even now, it's probably a 5 Hundo Burger release level for me.
Honestly.
But then it's so lucky when comp viability also probably go down, though, right? So it's like, you know, it's like a bit of a catch 22 here.
Can you have it all?
No.
Can you be balanced and viable?
Underburger level varies like crazy. We get Palmon at 1, by the way. Which
I stand by it.
Fair enough.
I'm like, so many people like, if you like grinded Palmon, you really like it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. Well, not me.
Could not be further from the truth. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, I know we're also late on doing an episode this week. We normally record on Tuesdays, but for the fact that we are late, it's kind of a good thing because we do have advance notice of the patch notes. Celestial Rumble Part 2 is going to be coming up very, very soon. I think later on tonight, and we got the patch notes. So we can talk about an upcoming patch to the game. Richard, let's get into it. Celestial Rumble Part 2. First off, some of the more exciting stuff in this patch, I think cover the update details. A new type of battle, Charge-A-Bug Scuffle. Is available. You can obtain special rewards. Space style Lucario is coming back to the chess challenge, that kind of stuff. Cool. New game mode's kind of exciting. I saw some people mentioning it's similar to Capture the Flag, which is kind of true. This is Cherry on YouTube, who put out a lot of content when Pokemon Unite China was coming out. Charge Bug Shuffle, it's more like King of the Hill than it is Capture the Flag. So there are little Charge-A-Bugs on the map at the beginning of the game. There is one Charge-A-Bug, and one member of your team can pick it up. And anytime you're holding a Charge-A-Bug, you are passively getting 1 point per second for your team. However, if you're holding Charge-A-Bug and you're in this middle circle on the map, you get 3 points a second for your team, which obviously a lot more. And so you want to try to fight, knock out the enemy Pokemon that are holding the Charge-A-Bugs, pick them up yourself, get a ton of points if you can, and obviously try to stay in the circle where there's a ton of points to be earned. There also is, I think, more Charge-A-Bugs spawned in throughout the map. Yeah, you can see in the top left corner if you're watching on our screen right now, there's a little 15-second timer, and Charge-A-Bugs will spawn in, allowing you to get more Charge-A-Bug points if multiple of your team are holding them. So it's a little bit like a team deathmatch, King of the Hill style match. It seems pretty fun. It seems extremely chaotic, of course. But that in itself is a good time. Who knows? We ran a tournament on this channel for Electrode Volleyball when it came out. Maybe we'll have to run a Charge-A-Bug Scuffle. that would be a pretty good time.
So good. What would you dress? You would. How would you dress up? How would you?
Oh, that's so true.
Charge-A-Bug Scuffle.
For maybe because it's like
fight. Like you're like a boxer.
That's true. I was thinking because it's like King of the Hill. Maybe I go with like a regal theme. And, like, we talk, like, old-timey, like, Renaissance-ish the whole time.
That's why you're the idea guy.
Yeah, that's the voice I'll be casting in. It'll be unlistenable. I hope you all enjoy it.
I will. Now I'm expecting it.
Okay, perfect, perfect. That's a mistake on my part. Okay. actually, before we jump into it too, we did want... Oh, also, Space Star Lucario making a lot of sense to be returning because a mega announcement. Mega Lucario was originally scheduled to debut in Pokemon Unite October 3rd, but we wanted to give trainers the Mega Evolution experience sooner. Mega Lucario joins the fray on September 28th. Cool. I really don't know why this is happening. I don't know if we have any like indication. We were talking a little bit about it before we did the episode, like in our green room, if you will. Is there some kind of collab with like, is there some kind of press coming out about Legends ZA? Like, is there some kind of trailer that's going to include Mega Lucario around that time? Maybe like it feels I can't think of a reason for them to move it up is the only thing other than promotion, like some kind of promotional. It's a weird day. This is a Sunday, which is a very strange day to release something new into a game. I don't know. Either way, I am excited about Mega Lucario in the sense that we're getting more Megas. We've said it before in the episode on the podcast, though. I am not excited about how they're putting these Megas into the game. Only having power-up punch in close combat by the data mines seems really unfun, even if you have a Mega Gauge to play around with. So I'm hoping they change my mind on this release, and I'll have I won't have to wait as long, because it'll be happening on this weekend. So cool.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Like, not even a week. Like, it's literally, like, what, 4 or 5 days? Like, I'm gagged. Yeah. If you told me they were changing the date, I'm like, oh, they're pushing it back. Quite literally never. I don't think Pokemon as a brand has like moved up a date. No. You know, like I just could not believe it. Thank you for giving us the Mega Evolution experience sooner. Mm-hmm. I take it as a good thing. Like, they have so much cooking, they're like, whatever, just get it out there. it's already ready, like, whatever. Like, if that is kind of, I think I kind of mentioned this when we talked more about the Megas, but if that is like the approach where it's like they can kind of like pump these out because the moveset already exists.
Yeah, it's like a lighter lift.
They're just kind of like adding it on to something that's already there, like if they can make them fast and like supplemental to like Newmon releases, like I'm super for this. Which,
yeah, that's true.
This is kind of like giving that to me. They're like, it's just so easy. We're already ready.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't know. I agree. Shocked.
I think that
I
is
hope
the
that's
thing.
The vibe.
I hope so too. I think we're on to something there. I hope that's the case. And yeah, I think that helps the like sting of them not being entirely differently designed Pokemon. If they are that fast, it's like, okay, well, you know what? We're just getting so much that maybe it's okay. And listen, I'm going to know life this game when Delmise comes out. Empoleon, I was so excited for because as a Pokemon, I love Piplup and I love Empoleon. Delmise as a design, I am already in love with and have only seen a trailer. So I cannot
wait. It's
gonna
be so good.
And I watched the El Shigo Eevee like debut video on it and Sprague's reaction to it. Some of the moves, I'm like, oh, I cannot wait. It is very like Nautilus from League, but it also takes some interesting like fear, like kind of damage absorption elements. Like Delmise, they killed it with the design. The report card's gonna go crazy on the flavor theme category.
That might be an all-timer.
An all-time.
I don't know. Zoinks is gonna have to like it's gonna be 500 burgers. I don't think he's gonna allow for anything else.
It's gonna be so
we'll
broken
see.
Though, so it'll go back down to 2 or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We might give it to you.
Last thing we get into before the actual balance changes, I did want to mention there in this patch, there is no note of them adding tournament mode or Groudon map to tournament mode. Really hope that happens just for the grassroots community. It's been really frustrating to not have the opportunity to play, you know, normal, like, alternating band draft in the Groudon map, as well as, you know, you gotta play with, like,
no
emblems. Like, come on. This is just frustrating. But anyway, let's get into some of these changes. Cinderace, get a quick little buff. It's cooldown on Pyro Ball by half a second. Very small change, Look at all the Twitter feed. It'll make sense. This Pokemon's getting a crystal tier follower pretty soon.
Yeah, so. He is.
I would expect other small changes in the buff category to Cinderace over the next batch or so.
It is. I mean, they nerfed Blaze Kick, so they really want you to play Pyro Ball. They nerfed Blaze really Kick previously. Mm-hmm. So they, I guess, are pushing the Pyro Ball. Maybe the animation's cooler on the skin. Unclear.
Guaranteed it'll be. It actually looks pretty cool. It looks kind of like post-apocalyptic kind of vibe, yeah, which I think is fun. Give me a Fallout vibe for Cinderace. That's cool. Okay, Lucario getting some changes. Notably, changes to the moves that will be included in the Mega Evolution Pokemon. So maybe an indication that their stats are going to be identical between Lucario and Mega Lucario. No confirmation or information on that, but just it would make sense to me. But either way, Lucario's power-up punch does more execute damage. So damage based on the opponent's missing HP from 10%, now up to 12%. So power-up punch, a bit better of an execute tool. And then close combat gets a 1 second cooldown. It's pretty huge. From 7.5 seconds down to 6.5 seconds. Close combat, quite a bit of healing, quite a bit of damage. Being able to weave it in a little bit more is going to be nice. So yeah, some big changes to Luca.
Yeah, those will definitely feel super good. Don't know if he needed them, but I wouldn't be surprised that, like you said, like the stats for Mega Luca are likely going to be the same.
Yeah.
Which is why they're preemptively getting us all ready for what is to come on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. I also think Extreme Speed is really, really good right now. It feels like one of the best sets on the new map with just so many more wild Pokemon at any given time. There's a lot more ability to E-Speed reset. Yeah, I know. Natus are crazy. Also, not for nothing, Natus and Piplup are a fantastic matchup as well. You can charge your Torrent Gauge really easily by hitting like a bunch of them at once. Just it's nice. Anyway, so Luca changes. Sure. You know, maybe he didn't need them, but feels fine to me. Dragapults, strange one here. Changes to Dragon Breath. Cooldown from 7.5 seconds down to 7 seconds, and the first stage of damage getting a 23% increase. So that's the burst of damage and then like the burn damage after. Did not get a change. Yeah, it's interesting. So to enhance Dragapult's signature playstyle of using its high mobility to attack opponents while keeping them at distance, the damage of Dragon Breath has been increased and its cooldown has been reduced. By applying its slowing effect more frequently, it is now easier for Dragapult to maintain an advantageous position. So I think that final sentence is the most important one about the idea behind the change. They want you to slow opponents more via the Dragon Breath on Dragapult, which is interesting. Shadow Ball feels like it just synergizes a lot more with this Pokemon because it gives you that little mini dash whenever you use the move, whenever you cast it. So Dragon Breath always feels a little strange unless you're pairing it with Dragon Dance, which you can use mid-animation, which is kind of a fun mechanic. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know. I'm having a hard time. I mean, maybe they just need to buff something on this Pokemon. Listen, Dragapult, they make so many changes to this Pokemon, it still feels like it's struggling in every single metagame we've ever played. They gotta change something about this Pokemon, and I don't know, maybe just slowly tuning up everything else will be a part of it.
Yeah, I feel like Dragapult's definitely never really gotten a chance to shine. When it was kind of first released, people tried, I feel like, with Dragon Dance and probably Shadow Ball, but I do think there is some interesting gameplay with, like, the circles. It can be a bit annoying, but it just is so, like, counterable, unless you're really being, like, strategic with when you're starting the spin and stuff. It just feels like, is it Phantom Force where he disappears?
Yeah.
I just feel like it actually does really, really well, especially on this map. I just think it is thriving a little bit. So I'm glad it didn't get anything to the ghost build. I'm glad it was dragon build, but I don't, like I said, I don't, like you said, I don't think this is going to be doing much.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it changes its win rate at all. One thing. Okay, tell me if this idea is too crazy. What if they buffed Dragon Dance by making you invisible during it?
Oh, that would be kind of evil.
So you can still see the little, like, attacks coming at you, right? Like, you can still see the auto attacks or whatever, but Dragapult itself is invisible, just like an added element to make it harder to stun it out of its flying circle. I don't know, that's probably too strong, but it would be, well, it's not even strong, it's probably too toxic is what it is. Like, it's a new player nightmare. Like, why am I getting hit by everything while I can't even see the target, right? It's a bit of a Gudra effect, so maybe that's too strong. Okay. Zorark, or just invisible like Inteleon, so you can't sure hit it. Oh yeah, that'd be interesting.
That would be a good buff, because that is its major weakness, is like if you have something that auto locks on, yeah. The circle doesn't matter.
Volt Tackle Pikachu hard counters the entire roster. I'll truly believe that. Okay, Zorark has some buffs. Interesting. Cut and Night Slash both getting a buff. So Cut, HP recovery keeps going up. How many times have they increased the HP recovery on Cut, by the way? Feels like this is the 10th time they've increased it. They keep on cruising. Night Slash input window for movement is going to be a little bit more. So to get that combo going, you got a bit more room to work with. Shadow Claw is where they changed it. So Shadow Claw, instead of throwing for just over half a second, now it's just under half a second. So only 0.4 seconds. Azorak had issues with durability in combat, recovery from Crut, improved. Great. Basically, Shadow Claw getting a slight nerf, so the knockup isn't as long. However, I feel like the CC from Azorak mostly comes from the faint attack stuns that it's hitting you with every time it dashes through with you. I don't know. These changes overall feel like the Shadow Claw faint attack set doesn't really change, and then Cut Night Slash gets better, in my opinion. I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at. With Zorark is an overall buff, but I don't think Shadow Claw and Faint Attack is hit that hard. But I'm not a Zorark main, so I don't know.
Yeah, and it is just Shadow Claw plus. I mean, at least that's what fair. It says. Good point. Mm-hmm. So it just feels like, Zoro's late game is slightly worse than it already kind of was. So he still will have his turbo broken early game, which I feel like is mostly why you're playing Zoro anyway.
Right. Yeah. Well, yet to be seen. The patch hasn't actually dropped yet, and that's when I need the no-life Zorark players to get on the game. And they need to experiment. Yeah. All right. Mew getting some really interesting change. Like, not a rework, but almost. Like, a change to Mew in a way. Okay. Mew's basic attack. Change to deal damage based on special attack. I think the boosted always did, but now those first instances of auto attacks are now. So, great. Damage change from -20% to +37%. Very funny. It used to be lowering its damage because of its attack stat. Now it's increasing. Solar Beam. Damage from level 1 to 15. 10% decrease to 8% increase. So early game Solar Beam will hit less. Late game Solar Beam will hit more. Surf, same change, but 7% to 8% increase. Interestingly enough, I mean, Electro Ball is one of the best early game moves, and it didn't get the change, which is strange, but whatever. this feels...
It doesn't need it.
Yeah. I don't know. This is one of the weird changes in this patch. Like, there's a lot of weird changes in this patch. Like, the Dragon Ball change is kind of like, whatever, right? The Zorark change is like, okay. We're getting to some of the more egregious nerfs a little bit later, but this Mew change just feels... I don't know. It does feel strange. It feels like they're trying to take it out of that more... you know, supportive attacker role, and they want to make it like, no, this is a late game mage, or doing what they can to make it a late game mage.
Yeah, that's true, because Mew has always mostly thrived in the early part of the game, like in lane particularly, so the scaling is nice, but I just get a little scared whenever they buff Mew, but I do feel like I don't feel like Mew's in, like, a broken spot by any means. Maybe at, like, a high-level competitive setting. But even then, I don't really feel like it was doing very much. So, as scared as I am, I don't fully, like, hate it. Do I think there's other attackers that have been out of the meta longer that deserve some love? Absolutely. But Mew's kit is very iconic. It's an iconic Pokemon. I'm not surprised to see them kind of gassing her back up, because it has been a while.
Yeah. Ish. Mew needs its time, for sure. I think, it's been chilling too long. Let's bring it out of retirement. Okay, moving on to the next Pokemon. Palmot, low-key, almost getting a rework already.
Like, I know!
This is very interesting. No public test server, by the way. Another interesting change. So, yeah, interesting stuff there. Basic attack, Thunder Punch, Supercell Slam, just a ton of changes. I would say the highlight reload of this one, Supercell Slam, now gets Unstoppable and grants a shield. So, huge buff there. And now Thunder Punch does a little bit less damage, but also has a stun effect. I don't know, there's some pretty big changes to this Pokemon. HP recovery going down a little bit, which is probably for the best. How you feeling about a Palmont rework?
Pretty good. I was a little scared, like, initially. I'm like, oh god, like, are they gonna, like, I thought they were gonna kind of, like, kill it, you know, mm-hmm. like, over nerf it, as they often do. But I actually think they, like, kind of, like, gave and took, like, pretty well. I feel like changes with the ult were pretty good, or Supercell Slam isn't the ult, sorry. I thought they changed the ult to be Unstoppable, which I feel like people had, like, kind of wanted, but Supercell Slam, I still feel like they're giving it a lot while also trying to, like, make sure it doesn't get, like, too crazy.
Yeah,
I like that it's gotten more of the, like, CC-ish additions with, like, Thunder Punch, so I like it. I think it'll be obviously interesting to see what the Palmont heads thing, but I am glad it doesn't seem like it's gonna be, like, unplayable. It seems like it'll still be fun and have a place, just might be a little different, a less, like, pure damage focus, it seems like.
Totally, which I think is super fun. I gotta admit, I'm excited to try Supercell Slam. That was probably the move I had the least fun with when I was playing it upon release, so I'm excited to have an upgraded move to that. That'll be a good time. Okay, a few other changes. I just wanted to, like, go over a few. We got some weird nerfs. Absol getting a nerf, I don't think that comes as a surprise to anyone. Probably one of the best features in the game for a long time right now. Comfey getting some changes in weird ways, like Grass Knot's the one getting a change. Same with Sweet Kiss and Flora Healing, both getting some slight nerfs. Interesting. I mean, listen, maybe it's because of my ban stats. I've been banning Comfy every single game in this new draft mode. It's just on site. I was watching Spraggle stream today. I know he does the same thing. So I'm like, yeah, I get it. I just move on to pick a new support I hate every patch and just ban that one away.
Valid.
Serilege getting a nerf. That feels weird. So now we're in the weird category. Serilege, nerf. Umbreon, foul play nerf. I mean, sure, it's better than Mean Look, but I don't think Umbreon needed a nerf, by the way.
Of all the defenders, I mean, yeah, whatever.
Feels weird. And then, okay, the most egregious, Aegislash getting a nerf.
That was rude. That was kind of like, they haven't really done, like, a... Almost, like, sometimes it feels, like, mean. It's like, why would you do that?
Right.
Like... Yeah, I feel like we haven't gotten one of those in, like, at least a while. Like, sometimes it's been like, okay, like, whatever. This one feels like, whoa.
I don't want to, like, throw the word, like, hate crime around flippantly, but, like, what the heck? This is insane. I mean, it's not even that big of a nerf, by the way, right? Like, the cooldown from 8 seconds to 8.5.
It's just like...
And the throw is less. The reason for this change, the only thing I could think of is they're like, please play Iron Head. Please, we'll do anything. Play Iron Head. And so they're like nerfing Wide Guard to make it more of a choice. I don't know. So, sure, whatever. This Pokemon did not need a nerf in any way, shape, or form, so... I'm a little shocked about that. Yeah. Also, I wanted to mention these just really quick before we get off the patch. So these bug fixes were really funny this time, by the way. This is one of my favorites.
I didn't even look at them.
Fixed a bug where Dragapult's Unite move would target Alolan Raichu's Electro Ball. Like, that's so funny. I wish I noticed that one before. Poor Dragapult mates.
So funny.
Fixed a bug where Palmont's basic attack would sometimes not deal damage if Palmont had a certain amount of attack speed or higher when it activated its Unite move. It punched too fast. It didn't do damage. Like, this is criminal. Serena wouldn't get Groudon's buff if it was midair. Like, there was some truly criminal bugs that we just did not see.
It's just so funny. Like, what did they, like, what button
what,
do you push?
Yeah, what,
like,
line of text did they change that changed, like, that?
It's so interesting. I'm obviously not a developer, but right. Electro Ball, if I was, like, Dragapult and I saw my Unite go to the E-Ball, I lose my mind. Ugh.
That being said, if I could damage Alolan Raichu's Electro Ball to make it go away, I think that'd be kind of fun. Like, if I could throw moves at it, I think that would be kind of cool. I just want all Pokemon to do it and not just absorb Dragapult's Unite move. That's a little insane.
Ugh. Period.
But okay, other than that, I mean, I think we can all just kind of look at this patch and just kind of, it feels like the first head-scratcher patch in a long time. I think Unite's been kind of batting pretty well in terms of averages for most of these patches for the last few months. This feels like the first one where it's like, what? I don't know. The second part of Celestial Rumble had a strange vibe to it for sure. A lot of these just didn't make sense to me. Mew buffs in particular, Zoroark changes, Agelaf nerfs. I don't know. But either way, I think that's kind of most of our stuff on the patch. Any final notes on the patch, Bridget, before we kind of close up shop here?
Yeah, it was definitely a weird one, but I don't think anything, like, they tuned weird stuff up and down, but it doesn't feel like anything was, like, turbo turned all the way up or all the way down. Mm-hmm. Mew might be my only, like, nervous exception, pending how that goes. But otherwise, I'm like, okay, weird. Yeah. Not what I would have nerfed, but I don't think it's going to break my game, so that's fine.
Yeah, we should be okay. We'll see what these Palma changes do, you know, who knows? Maybe Thunder Punch stunning now is going to be the worst thing on Earth. I
can't wait.
Either way, that's going to bring us to the end of today's Overnunk episode. Thank you, everybody, so much for being patient and waiting a couple of weeks for this episode, but I'm glad we're back. We got Mega Lucario next time we do an episode, by the way. Insane.
Another report card.
Insane to think. Yeah, we have so many report cards to do. But that is going to bring us to the end of Soriana as you just got here. But if you want to listen to the episode, you can always find us on the Unite Mics YouTube channel, as well as we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the stuff. Check us out. Also, if you haven't checked us out on either of those platforms, a review on either of those platforms goes a long way. That'd be really cool, especially if it's 5 stars. If it's anything less, don't worry about it. Bridget, anything you want to promote or shout out before we get out of here?
Nope. I've just been doing my thing. I'm trying, guys. I'm making vertical videos.
Yes, true. Bridget, TikTok's been huge.
I feel crazy. I've been making TikToks. It's kind of fun. I'm just doing it for fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm Big Bridget on TikTok.
I feel like I passed the torch. I feel like when you started hitting TikTok hard, I stopped doing TikTok. So
I know you inspired me. I was like,
maybe you and I will be the try. Like, maybe we'll do the Overdunk pendulum. Whenever you start slowing down, I'll start making more videos and we'll go back and forth.
We'll balance it. No, it's good. We can plan our mentee bees.
Perfect. All right. Well, check your TikTok is Big Bridget, right? Yes. Check out mine at Zoinkscast as well. I'm trying to put out some more stuff too. But other than that, please, if you're watching this on YouTube, leave us down a comment below. What's the craziest change in a patch you've ever seen before in a video game? We'll keep it real wide open for this one. Other than that, promo stuff, Underdunk is happening tomorrow night as of this recording, so on Thursday, and yours truly will be casting the late shift. So the second half of the Underdunk tournament, I will be yapping about the Groudon map. It's my first time casting the Groudon map. I'm so excited. It's taking too long, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm excited to watch.
Do Heroes of the Storm? Yeah, Eyelids, please tell me the craziest hot patch of all time. All right. Well, if you're going to be watching the Underdog stream, we'll see y'all tomorrow. Otherwise, we'll see you next week talking about Mega Lucario. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.